We started last week in the sermon series entitled God Has So Much More for Us as Individuals and as a Church, Pathfinder Church. God has so much more. And today, Come to Me Alone. Come to Me Alone is our theme, if you will, or our title for our sermon. And I'm going to jump right into the texts because they're very important to get started with. So let's get that first text. This is from Jeremiah 2. As you know, for 10 weeks, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. All right? So this is from Jeremiah 2, verses 10 through 14, and then 17 and 18. Cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And on down, is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Now on down to 17. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God where he led you in the way? Now why go to Egypt to drink water from the Nile? And why go to Assyria to drink water from the Euphrates? Wow. Remember what I said about Jeremiah last week? He wasn't very well loved by the leadership of Judah, by the priests and so on and so forth. He wasn't very well loved because of words like this. Huh. Look at those pictures. The Bible is littered with examples of ancient gods that the Israelites were prone to idolize. Canaanite gods, including Ashtoreth and Astarte, Baal, Chemosh, and Dagon. Babylonian gods, including Marduk, Milcom, and Molech. This is a picture on the left side. Nu over here, with Merodach and Ishtar and some other Babylonian gods. And then, of course, there were the numerous Egyptian gods, although not mentioned by name in the Bible. They were what the whole battle of the plagues was all about. And then, of course, finally, well, and here's another one, by the way. Here's another picture of some ancient gods that were revered. There's the infamous golden calf that the Hebrew people themselves created at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses was up receiving the Ten Commandments. The worship of all these false gods is at the very heart of what Jeremiah bemoans in this text today. And it is the reason the nation of Judah is about to suffer tragedy in a mighty way. I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So here's our theme for this morning. Do not forsake the river of flowing water, for the broken cisterns of this world come to God alone. Take a look at the front of your bulletin. This is, metaphorically speaking, a broken cistern. It's really a clay pot for flowers, but it's broken. It won't hold much water, as you can see. More on that in just a minute. Do not forsake the river of flowing water, for the broken cisterns of this world come to God alone. So let's talk about this idea of forsaking. verses 11 and then the first half of verse 13. Let's look at 11 first. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Look at God's question to the Hebrew people. Look at it. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Is that possible? Will they do such a thing? And unfortunately, he goes on to answer for them. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Ouch. Ouch. Worthless idols. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the Hebrew people running to other gods for protection, worshiping and comforting from other gods, and then eventually, when catastrophe happens, returning back to God and begging forgiveness, and then they run off again to some other god, and it's just an over and over ongoing event all the way through the Old Testament. Even the wisest man to ever walk the earth, supposedly Solomon, ended up going worshiping other gods. All the way through the Old Testament. One might think that it's something that's very human to do. Here's a very short but funny clip. Has anyone heard of the show American Idol? Okay, several of you. Good, good, good. So you'll have a better understanding of this then. Think about the words now for a minute, though. American Idol. American Idol. Just think about the words for a minute. All right, here, let's watch the video clip.
This week on Religious Idol.
Raised from the dead for. Face it, you can't.
All I have to say is...
You're fat. I don't mean to be rude here, but if you're going to be the next religious idol, you're going to have to lose some weight.
You ain't getting my vote unless you can turn my water into wine.
I just don't think people will believe in you. I'm sorry.
Religious Idol. What are you worshiping?
I said wine, not Ovaltine.
We laugh, but oh, I wonder how true that video clip is. I mean, I can hear you thinking out loud, Brother Don, what does this have to do with us modern day folk? I mean, we don't go around worshiping Molech and Astarte and all those other folks, all these false gods that are mentioned in the Bible. What's that got to do with us? And that is true, we don't. But I think this message... This text has a message for our nation today, just as it did to Judea all those years ago. As a nation and as individuals, we have forsaken our first love, Jesus Christ. We have replaced him with numerous other false gods of our own making. And here are just a few to think about. Okay, here are just a few to think about. The God of money. There's Mark Cuban, one of the wealthiest men in all of the United States. Sarah Buckley, I believe, is the other, or Blakely is the other young lady's name, also quite wealthy businesswoman. And look at the graphic next to it. The idols we worship in Cana. Say around 1300 BCE, the Israelites worshiping a golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai. And oh, look, 2000 CE, we're worshiping at the bull markets of Wall Street. Another golden calf, as it were. Think about that for a minute. Here's some other idols that we worship. Anyone recognize this one? That's a lotto ticket. Yeah. How many people worship at the Fast Mart every single Saturday morning, every single Tuesday afternoon in time to get to their Wednesday multi-million dollar fortune? How about the Cadillac Escalade right next to it? Anybody got one? Sorry. I was at my last church. I may have told you this story already. I don't know. Maybe not. At my last church, I had a very, very thin, gaunt young lady walk in with two children, a baby in her hands and another child, and I guess a couple more in school. The baby's diaper looked like it hadn't been changed in a month. They looked like neither of the kids had any, you know, bath in days. They came in, and her mother brought her in with, her mother came in, and her mother was pretty nice dressed, not so bad. But they came in, and she said, I need food. I'm desperate. I don't have any food in the house. I said, okay, I'll help you. And I gave her five big, huge grocery bags full of groceries to help those children and to help them out. And I said, I offered to help carry them out to their car. And so she said, yes, that would be very helpful. So I started carrying out the bags of groceries out to their car. And I was shocked when I walked outside, because what they were driving was a $55,000 brand new Cadillac Escalade. But they didn't have money enough to pay for food for their children. What gods do we worship? What gods do we worship? Here's another one. Look at this little bungalow. Guest quarters, servants' quarters, huge mansion in the front, beautiful, nice swimming pool, tennis court, several acres of property. Would you be shocked if I told you this was a pastor's home? This is Joel Osteen's home. One of three. It's worth $11.9 million. Here, let me say that again. It's worth $11.9 million. His other homes are cheapies. They're only worth $3 million. Creflo Dollar had the audacity to ask his church to buy him a $330 million airplane so that he could travel the country and do more ministry. What gods do we worship, folks? How many people could you feed for $11.9 million? Here's some more. FEMA faces intense scrutiny. Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, ooh, this one hits home, become the highest paid NFL player. He now makes $27 million a year to play football. 16 games. $27 million, you do the math. And what about this picture down here in the bottom? Well, what about FEMA, first of all? What about FEMA? Why do I say they're a god with a small g? Remember what happened with Katrina several years ago? And how just angry the whole area of New Orleans was over FEMA not taking care of them right away and expecting miracles? More about that later. How about this last one down here at the bottom? This group of individuals sitting here for a wonderful time together having conversation. You laugh. I went to dinner. We went to dinner with a ward room, Miss Jackie and I. There were eight of us at the dinner table. We went to connect with each other and to learn more about each other. 5 minutes at the table, not a word had been spoken. 6 minutes at the table, not a word had been spoken. 7 minutes at the table, not a word had been spoken. Not one word. I finally couldn't stand it anymore, and I said, stop it! Put your cell phones down! I did it like that in the restaurant. We went 8 minutes sitting at our table to get connected, and they were... for 8 minutes without a single word being spoken. What gods do we worship, folks? With a small g. With a small g. This thing right here is a tool, not a lifestyle. What are we giving up when we idolize such people and such things when God has so much more for us, folks? So much more for us. Just the word American Idol. That just bugs me. If you're a fan of that show, sorry. I don't think it's even on TV anymore, is it? Or is it? I don't know. I never watched it, so I don't know. What are we giving up when we idolize such things and people? Here's the second part of this forsaking. My people have committed two sins. First, they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Now, this text was written probably 700 years before Jesus walked the earth. 700 years or so, give or take. Give or take 10 or 12. Yet God, look at what God refers to himself, the spring of living water. Spring of living water. What were Jesus' words to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? What were they? John 4. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Spring of living water. Jesus is the spring of living water, folks. And God is saying to the Hebrew people and to us, when you idolize these false gods in whatever form they are, whether they look like a cell phone, some demagogue, you're walking away from the one who can give you life. So, let's talk about broken cisterns a little bit. Second half of verse 13, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And then on down to verse 18, now why go to Egypt to drink water from the Nile? And why go to Assyria to drink water from the Euphrates? Now this passage may seem a little strange to you, especially verse 18, until we realize the story behind it. We realize the context of what God is saying to the Hebrew people here. Then it becomes understandable in our modern day context. What God is really asking the Hebrew people here is, to whom or what do you put your trust in? Who or what do you put your trust in? And it's a twofold thought here. The first one is verse 13 there, dug their own cisterns. First, God says that we rely too much on our own merits, our own strength, our own intelligence, our own talents, our craftsmanship, our persona, our wealth, our stuff. That is what he means when he says we build our own cisterns. And when they break, they can no longer hold water. I can't help but get the image of the, in New Orleans out of my head when the levees finally gave way and water were just pouring out into the city. I mean, just pouring into the city. Didn't see that as much with Houston, but still quite a bit. But when the levee broke, when the cistern broke, havoc wreaked across the land. We build our own cisterns and they break, folks. Look at the front cover of the bulletin again. And when they do break, when our own merits fail us at some point in our life, they will break down and will no longer sustain us. That is why we need living water which does not fail. Secondly, God says that we try and rely on others to sustain us as well. See, the truth here is that Judah sought help from Egypt, from the land of Egypt, from Pharaoh, right? Several years, when the Babylonians first began marching down, Judah went to the very nation that held them captive for over 400 years and said, "We need your help. Come help us." God said, "Don't do that. No, no, we need your help. Come help us." So sure enough, Pharaoh marched in with his army, took over the land, and the kings of Judah became vassal kings, puppet kings for Egypt again. And eventually, both were overthrown, both Egypt, Pharaoh and Egypt, and Judah were all overthrown by the Babylonians. So Egypt did them no good. And Jeremiah warns them, don't go to Egypt. Don't seek help from Egypt. You know where to seek help from. Don't seek help from Egypt. Additionally, many Hebrew people, when the Babylonians did march in, many Hebrew people tried to escape and they fled to Egypt. We'll go back to where we were prisoners and mistreated all those years ago. And God says, don't do that. Don't rely on Egypt. Don't go to Egypt to drink out of the Nile. Drink from the well of flowing water, living water. That is God. For us, we understand it is Jesus. They are one and the same. Egypt cannot save you, only I can, says God. So the question for us today is this: to whom or what do we turn when we feel threatened, insecure, and fearful? The people of New Orleans sought out FEMA, and they were angry at the federal government because the federal government couldn't help them fast enough. Now, that's an interesting contrast, by the way. I won't get into this too much, but it's a really interesting contrast to look at how New Orleans reacted after Katrina and how Houston reacted after their most recent hurricane. And I'll let you think on that and chew on that for a while. People were angry at the government because they couldn't. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Stock market crash, 1930s, and the recession in the 1990s. Broken cisterns. All the money in the world couldn't help people then. Money is a broken cistern of false security. What other broken cisterns do we rely on? What false gods, with a small g, are we seeking solace from in times of trouble? God says, don't go down to Egypt for safety. Come to me alone. God has so much more for us, beloved. God has so much more for this church than any broken cistern has to offer. And that includes the broken cistern of me. God has something to offer. Do not forsake the river of flowing water, for the broken cisterns of this world come to God alone. Amen. And amen.